Are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type BRAIN for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code BRAIN, B-R-A-I-N, at adamandeve.com.
You're listening to the High Spot Podcast presented by Brain Stew Radio. Brain Stew Radio is brought to you by Brain Stew Media. Check out studio rates, online mixing deals, and live sound recording by going to brainstewmedia.com. Brain Stew Radio graphics are designed by Skunk Duck Designs. For all of your graphic art needs, Skunk Duck, no one does it better. Brain Stew Radio is happy to be affiliated with Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars to deliver your high-quality, independent pro wrestling. Check out their upcoming schedule at WrestlingIsMagic.com.
Coming down the aisle at a combined weight of 436 pounds, the team of Jeffrey Martin, Brian Berga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
And that can only mean one thing. You're listening to the High Spot Podcast. Jersey Wrecking Crew, we're back at you here. Jeff Martin and the trendsetter Brian Berga. Follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast and our partnership with the Brain Stew Radio. You can follow them on Twitter at Brain Stew Radio. Lots to talk about today, man. Royal Rumble now, a thing of the past as we are on the road to WrestleMania, as Brian so eloquently states it. Brian, how you doing, man? How's everything? What a Royal Rumble. What a reaction. And now we are on the road to WrestleMania, but some interesting news coming out today. Brian, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Jeff. I mean, yeah, you're right. We're on the road to WrestleMania, but it wouldn't be the road if there weren't some bumps along the way. No pun intended here, basically, from what we'll be talking about. But yeah, it was a very anticipated Royal Rumble weekend. It had a lot of enthusiasm behind it, a lot of excitement. We obviously spoke about the Kenny Omega situation, what could have happened, if that was a possibility. And always around the Royal Rumble, you have to deal with maybe some surprise entries, some people you weren't expecting to see. And believe you me, there was one person I didn't expect to see in the Royal Rumble, and that was all number 30, which was Roman Reigns. We'll probably dive into that a little bit too. But other than that, Jeff, I'm doing pretty good. It's been exciting. This is an exciting time, like I've mentioned before on previous shows, building up to this moment to be a wrestling fan. It's exciting. It's a moment where you and I look back, or especially you, I've told you this countless times, this is why I love pro wrestling. The excitement behind it makes you feel like you're a kid again. We're definitely kids when we go down to WrestleMania weekend. We visit places like Access or the area around. The atmosphere is always building, and you can definitely tell it's building, but we're not there yet. We're on the road, but again, we have to deal with Elimination Chamber, which is in 2 weeks, and obviously Fastlane for the Raw pay-per-view as well. So still, a lot of stuff can happen from this point on till WrestleMania.
Yeah, and like days like today when we're like maybe we need like 5 coffees in us to keep us up. And
I don't drink
like that.
Coffee, so I'm in trouble.
This labor of love that we do in days where we need to maybe slap ourselves a little bit in the face is just to keep our eyes
open.
I'll
slap you in the face if you need help.
It's going to be interesting, and this is why we do it. We love what we do.
I'm a team player.
And wait, what did you say?
I'm a team player.
You're
like,
a team
I'll
player.
Slap
you
in the face, you know, to wake you up if you need to.
Hey, you do what's best for this for the podcast, right?
Yeah, but Jeff, of course, anything for the podcast. I mean, yes, that's the only reason why I would do it, Jeff.
You got to talk about the injury now to Seth Rollins. You know, everyone knows now Samoa Joe showed up on Raw. We were all thinking he would have shown up on at the Royal Rumble match itself. Maybe he would have been number 30. We don't know, but you know, he makes his debut.
There was a Samoan at number 30. So
yeah, makes his debut. Well, you're right. It was the wrong Samoan that actually
made
it.
The wrong Samoan made his debut.
So we're all excited. He ends up impeding Seth Rollins' track straight to Triple H. And I got to admit that Triple H had a great promo. I really was into that promo by Triple H. Really kind of told the story of why he kind of turned his back on Seth Rollins. So Seth Rollins comes out. The invitation is accepted by Seth Rollins to meet Triple H in the middle of the ring. And what happens? Samoa Joe comes out. He is basically the guy that Triple H has hired to impede Seth Rollins. And then you're seeing him beat down. You're thinking it's a typical, you know, storyline. And then I think when he goes for the Gokina clutch, I mean, I've watched it now ever since they've reported this knee injury, which is legit, folks. It's not a work. I thought it was a work at first. And you could see that his leg gets twisted. Now, the story is that the story is that Seth Rollins, and I need that cup of coffee now, is that Seth Rollins went down to Birmingham to see James Andrews. Not sure if he got checked out already, but they will check him out tomorrow, most likely. And the thing now is WrestleMania, one of the key matches for WrestleMania, is in danger because we don't know the situation with Seth Rollins. First of all, Brian, how unfortunate is this for Seth Rollins to happen maybe 2 years in a row where he misses Mania? And wow, it's just very, very, very bad luck for Seth.
I think bad luck's an understatement here, Jeff. I mean, it couldn't happen at a worse possible time. I mean, I've read reports and articles talking about, you know, Seth Rollins is going to lose momentum going to WrestleMania. I'll be honest, I'm not trying to pour salt into the wound, Jeff, but I think Seth Rollins' momentum has been stalled greatly because you spoke about it before. You know, when the events happened where Triple H supposedly, I use quotation marks, turned his back on Seth Rollins, cost him the Universal Championship
last August.
I mean, at this point right now, we're starting to bring it up and seeing Triple H. We spoke about the 800-pound gorilla, no offense to gorillas, in the room, and we're like, it's taking too long. It's taking away a lot of the luster behind it. So maybe bad timing. So to me, the momentum was kind of dwindling. As for Seth Rollins, I mean, it's the same right knee where he tore his meniscus. He tore his ACL and MCL as well. So it's like, yeah, just hope. It's a knee sprain right now, but from the way he was walking on crutches to the obviously he thanked the fans for reaching out and giving their support and well wishes to him. To him tweeting out that photo, I don't know if you saw it, Jeff, of him having his knee treated. They're putting ice on it.
I saw him
swelling.
I saw him on crutches and like a brace, I think at Raw.
Yeah,
I didn't see that other picture, but he did tweet out the fans like you said. And I thank them for the support. It's not the end of the road, you know.
Yeah, tweeted a photo, and basically his knee was being iced. And he said in the cryptic tweet, or it wasn't cryptic, but he said, you know, this isn't a bad dream. He wishes it was. So that doesn't sound well from his experience. You always expect the worst. Right now, could have happened at a worse time. And so that leads to the question, Jeff, if Seth Rollins can't make it, what do we do? Because Triple H isn't training for nothing. He's going to fight at WrestleMania.
Yeah, and they had a meeting today. They had thrown about ideas of alternate plans should Seth Rollins be out a significant period of time. And for Seth Rollins, again, Brian, you as a person that suffered like a knee injury before, you know what it's like when you're on the ground and you feel it. Seth knows his body more than anyone. If he felt that it was just a sprain or a strain, right, he would know. So, I mean, maybe he doesn't want to, I guess.
I think it's just bad memories on his part right now, yeah, knowing so, what happened last time to this time, thinking, I hope it's not the same thing.
Yeah, so, I mean, he would know his body, too. So if he feels like it's more than, you know, just hope that it really is just a sprain. I mean, that's all I can say. And I don't know if you saw it back and forth. His knee got really contorted, but not to the fact that I thought maybe he, you know, re-aggravated the injury even, you know, at just the, like last year. So, I mean, it's tough to say. And the funny thing is, he's been doing crazy moves. He's been landing on that thing. And then again, like a little, you know, a little twerk of the knee, and that's all it takes, man.
And that's probably the most frustrating thing, too. It's the slightest thing. He kind of, his knee caught in a bad position after all the stuff you just said he's been doing, and then that's what's causing all this chaos right now in his head, because it's more of a mental thing he's battling with right now until he gets results early, either, you know, in the morning or obviously until the news goes out of what's the extent of the injury.
And how about Joe, a guy who's making his debut, to have that on him? It's kind of a tough way to get things started. I mean, it's not deliberately; it's by a freak accident, just like with Tyson Kidd.
Yeah.
With that whole situation.
But it works for Samoa Joe now.
Muscle Buster. I know it does.
He's the destroyer now.
He is the destroyer. I mean,
look what he's done to Shinsuke Nakamura. Look what he's done to Finn Balor. Look what he's done now to Seth Rollins. What he did to Tyson Kidd, although I'm sure they don't want to bring up what he did to Tyson Kidd because they're kind of avoiding that. He's a destroyer now. It kind of works against him. It's kind of similar to when Chris Benoit, which nobody wants to talk about anymore, obviously broke Sabu's neck and they called him the Crippler.
I mean, work
with that angle.
From one negative, you take a positive.
Yeah.
Kind of gives Samoa Joe street cred. Not that he needed street cred, but it gives him reputation now on his first night on Raw.
I'm kind of surprised they brought him on Raw. I really am. I thought he was going to be more of a SmackDown guy.
Well, you thought he was probably going to feud with John Cena. That's what we all thought.
That's what we all thought.
But then it makes sense, you know, that he, you know, comes out and beats up on Seth Rollins. But it's just, man, the Raw, you know, show, the Raw roster is very, very stacked right now, you know. And, you know, see, here's the thing. We can gripe about whether he should have been at the Rumble. Then he doesn't show up, and now we gripe whether he's on Raw or SmackDown. So, you know, it seems like we can't have our cake and eat it too with Samoa Joe, you know. And we'll see what happens, man. But again, you go off from Royal Rumble and being getting ready, getting set, and, you know, the WWE basically having a healthy roster to now one of their main guys being out of action maybe for a significant time, and then kind of puts a rein on the on your road, on your yellow brick road to WrestleMania.
Please don't say Reigns.
Reigns.
Please, I can't stand that name right now. But no, yeah, I mean, it obviously, everything was going well. We spoke to, for example, you know, we spoke to Jason Solomon a couple weeks ago, and we mentioned to him about the injuries and positioning of players, and you even talked to me about it, too, when we tried to kind of set this whole Royal Rumble leading to WrestleMania, start predicting it then. You know, injuries were a big part of what happened last year, where a lot of guys were put in certain spots. You thought everything was going to be good. You were thinking, okay, it's almost here now. Everybody just stay healthy. And something like this happens. Obviously, that's something you plan. But, you know, as the old sports analogy goes, the next man steps up or the next woman steps up or whoever. You have to move on, unfortunately. But, again, this is all speculation depending on what the results are of Seth Rollins' knee injury. You like to hope for the best right now. And you like to hope maybe it's just some rehab and some recovery time. But I bet you this, Jeff. If Seth Rollins has any way of getting there, he'll be there. If it's all possible. It all depends if the doctor will clear him, though. But
and this is clearly setting up a Seth Rollins versus Samoa Joe matchup at Fastlane. That's probably what it's setting up. And then,
oh, yeah. And now that's kind of thrown out the window, depending on the extent
of the injury. We will see with Seth Rollins. So many questions now with the possible injury. We'll find out what the extent is in the upcoming days. But we're reviewing the Royal Rumble. We had to get to Seth Rollins because that is the story right now of this week. And very interesting Royal Rumble, I would say. I would think it's interesting to the fact where the undercard was really good and you get to the Royal Rumble match. And I don't know if it was just because there were no surprises or just because it was just like something we were anticipating and it just maybe didn't deliver. But me and Brian were deciding we're going to come and do a post show right away. We were going to do the post show actually that night. And then, you know, we were like, well, you know what? Maybe we're going to speak out of emotion and not with clarity and not with a clear head. And I was about to. I was going to rip the Royal Rumble match because it was an enjoyable undercard highlighted by AJ Styles and John Cena.
It didn't take long for social media to start blowing up at the Rumble, especially after the Royal Rumble match itself. But yeah, you're right. You were talking about AJ and John Cena.
So we see entrances by, you know, the guys we thought, Undertaker, Goldberg, Brock. And then we get guys like Jack Gallagher, who was entertaining. Chris Jericho goes over 60 minutes.
The 61-minute man.
Hashtag. And Ty Dillinger with the perfect 10, which almost all smart wrestling fans kind of called it. That was the perfect time to do that. So congratulations to Ty Dillinger.
To me, that was probably the biggest pop of the night for the Royal Rumble match itself.
But besides Ty Dillinger, there just was no surprise. And I think we're used to seeing, I guess...
Oh, there was a surprise, Jeff. It's just not the surprise that we wanted to see.
Okay. But we're used to seeing, for example, maybe a name or two of nostalgia, you know, maybe a Kevin Nash or a Booker T, you know. We've been spoiled a little bit. You know, we've been spoiled because it's been years where we've seen this. But I would say also, too, lending that the roster's healthy, we maybe didn't need the surprises. And that's why we made a decision where, you know, let's get on this maybe like a few days afterwards and let our blood boil down a little bit lower and not be heated. And think about this is that the whole roster kind of was available, and this is kind of what you get when you get a healthy roster. You don't need the surprises. But now we go into number 30 in Roman Reigns, and Brian, I'll let you have this one because you thought what every fan thought. And if you go on YouTube and you see the videos of the reactions of Roman Reigns, what did you think the second you heard number 30 and you heard da-da, da-da, da? What did you think?
Well, I basically put my hands up. I'm like, I'm done. That's it. It's over. Roman Reigns is going to win this all. That's what it kind of made itself out to look like. What I thought of it, I was completely pent up with frustration. First of all, because I kind of assumed after putting all this together and seeing the Undertaker in the middle of the ring getting ready for the last entry, I was thinking, oh my God, here we go, Finn Balor. Finn Balor returns, the thing that you wanted the most, Jeff, to see Finn Balor at the Royal Rumble. Not a lot of people were talking about it. It could have been something that was kind of under the umbrella. A lot of people were kind of picking this moment, but I was thinking, oh my God, the dead man is going to be facing one-on-one in the middle of the ring, because everybody was down on the ground, including Chris Jericho. That's why he's the 61-minute man. The demon was going to face the dead man in the middle of the ring. To me, that would have been a great moment. But they've been building up the whole Roman Reigns thing. They said that was going to be a rumor. They were squashing the whole John Cena Undertaker at Mania. So when I first saw it, I was frustrated, because you even said yourself during the event, you're like, man, they are still force-feeding this guy down our throats. And it's literally like nobody gets the message. And it's kudos to the WWE. I mean, I don't give them enough credit to, but even despite the fact that I'm against that, and people say, oh, you're such a smart mark, Brian. No, I get it. They're going to stick with their guy just like they stuck with John Cena all this time. I get that Roman Reigns is going to be, you know, no pun intended to AJ Styles, the face that runs the place eventually. He is the future. He's going to be put in that position whether we as fans like it or not, whether we're smart marks or not. So it was that frustration, plus the mere fact of thinking he ends up fighting for the Universal title against Kevin Owens, loses, and then he's given another opportunity now to battle for the Royal Rumble.
That's what bugged me more than anything. And then the number 30 spot. That's what I thought. And for all the fans, are like, well,
where's AJ Styles? He lost the WWE Championship. He didn't get a second shot at the Royal
Rumble. I think it's more for the challenger, whoever challenges.
No, I understand
for the title. But what I hate,
you get my point though.
What I hate is a smart. It's just the writers or the critiques that go, well, it makes perfect sense because Roman Reigns is setting up the feud with Undertaker. That's why he should have been around 30. Yeah. But you know what?
Just the writers. Those are the people going online saying, you know, the reporters who cover pro wrestling with you saying, guys, this makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense looking at it logically now. Hindsight's 20/20. But did you really have to do it at the Rumble?
But tell me, though, at that point, that's the first thing. Oh, well, it makes perfect sense because they're setting up for Undertaker. No. I wanted to see Finn Balor. I wanted to see Samoa Joe. In hindsight, it was good that you saved Samoa Joe, because you know what? Unless you're AJ Styles and you have a name, I can see you in the Rumble and then get eliminated. But you're for your number 30 and you're Samoa Joe, it really has to be a significant elimination for you to have your debut and get eliminated. So, you know, thinking about that, I'm like, well, I'm glad they held off Samoa Joe till the next day. But yeah, it would have been great to see Finn Balor and Undertaker, especially Finn Balor, because he was my pick. But I guess me and Jason Solomon were like way out of there, and you ended up actually.
I picked the winner for the first time in my life. I've picked the winner. I've been picking Chris Jericho even when he's not been in the Royal Rumble, as I've been with the company. I still picked Chris Jericho to win the Royal Rumble. And for the first time, I picked Randy Orton when I spoke with you and Jason Solomon. When you guys were like, he was like Samoa Joe, you were like Finn Balor. And then I asked, what's your backup plan? And you told me.
I said Braun.
It was Braun Strowman. To see Braun Strowman get eliminated by Baron Corbin, I was like, whoa. It was a shocking moment, but I'm like, wow, I would expect Braun Strowman to have been there like the final four. That's how dominant he's been so far in the WWE. But yes, Randy Orton eliminated Roman Reigns to now face John Cena at WrestleMania. Haven't we seen this matchup before, Jeff? Haven't these two faced before? And no offense to Randy Orton. And again, everybody says a nitpick on John Cena. But I got to be honest, man, they haven't had great matches together. Randy Orton's a natural in the ring. He is. And I would have preferred, and I know they did it for history factor, of John Cena defeating AJ Styles to tie Ric Flair's 16-time world title reign, but I would have preferred and probably would have expected a better match with AJ Styles and Randy Orton. I've never seen that before. Can you give me something I've never seen before? I would have loved to have seen that.
And AJ Styles makes a great point that he's one of the guys, Randy Orton, that he would love to get into the ring with.
Yeah.
So they've never had any interaction whatsoever, and AJ Styles in an interview recently said that he would love to take on Randy Orton. And hey, if that's a matchup for WrestleMania, you know, count me in. That's what I want to see. But the fact that now all of a sudden you're going to push Bray Wyatt and supposedly put the strap on him at Elimination Chamber, that's weird, because you've had a good year and a half or so to build him up, and now when we least expect it, where the build is the least, where the Wyatt family is kind of fractured, now you're going to put the belt on Bray Wyatt. Yes, him and Randy Orton were the sole survivors at Survivor Series. Yes, they were the final three, part of the final three there with Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble. But it just head-scratching to me that right now they're going to go with Bray Wyatt, where they could have gone with Bray Wyatt last year, where they could have gone with Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania 30 in his matchup against John Cena. Why Cena needed to get that win, I don't understand. Oh, that's right, it was for Legacy. I don't get it.
From WrestleMania 30.
Oh, yeah,
this
I mean...
This is my legacy.
Yeah, he should have won that matchup. And now they choose 3 years later, to go with Bray Wyatt in this situation. I don't understand. I'm not going to book here. That's not my job, but it would have been great to see AJ Styles and Randy Orton. Hey, and if Randy Orton beats AJ Styles at WrestleMania, I can live with that. And then maybe Bray Wyatt gets jealous, and then you run a show afterwards, after WrestleMania, between Bray and Randy Orton. That'd be great, too, because there's problems with the Wyatt family, but I don't know.
Anyway, you look at it, Jeff, we're not going to be happy, obviously, with the end result. If John Cena loses Elimination Chamber, which we'll dive into the other participants in that match as well, it kind of waters down the fact that he even made history. He's going to drop it less than 2 weeks later. And also, you know, to me, it's not burying AJ Styles. I mean, AJ Styles, regardless, everybody knows how talented he is. I mean, just by losing to John Cena, it doesn't take anything away from all he's accomplished and basically had a caliber pretty close to a match of the year candidate, which we'll talk of later on in the year, obviously, when we're doing those matches. We have Kenny Omega, Okada now, John Cena, and AJ Styles. And a different type of matchup than any other ones they've had a very slow pace to it. But again, I'm not going to dive into the psychology. But then, like, talk about other surprises in the Rumble, Jeff. I mean, they are really trying to build this up where Goldberg has Brock Lesnar's number. This is something that...
Another shocking thing. I never saw it coming.
I never saw it, but then as it started building, I'm thinking, oh, please don't let Goldberg eliminate Lesnar so quickly. It's like, let this build up a little. Let them eliminate a lot of people and let them be the only two left in the ring. But no, he comes in, tackles him with a spear, eliminates him. And I'm thinking, really? Wow. I was like, it's going to build up to a big payoff, you're assuming. I mean, we're not great bookers in terms of, you know, what the WWE's been doing so far. We've been completely off. But you think it's going to pay off. But ultimately, to what extent? I mean, I understand Goldberg's legacy. I mean, I'm surprised he's not inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame right now, because it would be a perfect time right now since he is currently on the roster. They might wait until next year, but what a huge shocker, man. They're really, in my opinion, really trying to build this up. But unfortunately, I think what we're going to see in the payoff of WrestleMania will be just another squash, where I hope it ends in 15 to 20 seconds, because to see Goldberg and Brock Lesnar go about 5 or 20 minutes probably won't be as pleasing as most people would think. But yeah, that was definitely
time
another shocker.
For Goldberg. It buys time for Goldberg to be in the best cardiovascular shape possible for Brock Lesnar. I think we all pretty much see the line in the sand or the drawing on the board that, you know, Goldberg is going to get squashed at WrestleMania. I don't think fully squashed, but I think, you know, it's going to be a very decisive win by Brock Lesnar, because I think they've done a great job, because every bully has that Nick in the armor, has that one person. And if you look at it, one at WrestleMania 20, Goldberg beat Brock, you know, beat him at the Survivor Series, and now eliminated him at the Royal Rumble. So now you're like, whoa, this bully, you know, everyone likes the bully, and then once he gets, you know, punched in the face, it's what does he do? And then, of course, he shows up on Monday night and challenges Goldberg to WrestleMania, which is one of the matches we knew was definitely going to happen. We were like, okay, maybe they go Brock and Braun, maybe. Yeah. But no, we're going Brock and Goldberg. So,
but we have our own source of saying that, you know, Brock's doing this for money. It's building up. It's going to be
for Goldberg,
payoff.
Yeah.
But what's really going to be the payoff? It's going to be that. My question, Jeff, is going to be that satisfactory once Brock Lesnar gets his revenge on Goldberg? I don't know if it will be.
I think had Brock beaten Goldberg, you couldn't have another match after that, just for the fact that WrestleMania 20 was about 13 years ago. So now our... Just for
I could have seen from the other side. He beat him at the Survivor Series. They're 1-1, and now this is the rubber match.
Agreed. That's
true. I would have probably maybe booked it that way, but again, I kind of see why they're doing it, but it goes back to, you know, all the emotions we dealt with that time during the Survivor Series. Man, after everything Brock Lesnar's done, you're going to beat him that way?
Plus, here's my thing, though. I think we remember the last match the most, and that's why when we get to AJ and John Cena, I'm going to tell you why I think this was bad for AJ, because I think that you remember that last match. You don't remember SummerSlam. SummerSlam now feels like 10 years ago. So I think that you remember this match the most. And AJ Styles whether he realized it today, he's going to be part of a trivia question. Who was the guy that lost John Cena to get him his tie, you know, with Ric Flair for the most, you know, for the...
It was a man John Cena defeated to make history.
Exactly. You say it so eloquently. That's why you're the trendsetter, and I'm just here mincing my words on a very late night. But
well, you're tired. Did you mean slap you on the face right now?
Maybe not yet. Maybe not yet. You know, when you say slap me in the face, it reminds me of the movie Chuck and Larry, where that's how we roll.
So stupid.
That's how we roll.
Yeah, Jeff.
In his partnership.
Yeah, he likes it rough. But, okay, which one's Chuck, which one's Larry? I guess I didn't even know who Adam Sandler was. Was he Chuck?
No, I remember Larry.
He was Chuck. Larry was
Doug Heffernan, because okay. I remember he's in bed, like, Larry. So that's how I remember that from. But as we digress into Chuck and Larry, no, I think there's a payoff, because I think that with Goldberg and Brock, I think Brock is a smart business guy, and he realizes that we have Goldberg going strong. We gotta realize, because everyone's thinking he's not in shape. You know, he's definitely not the same looking guy.
Exactly.
So now we think we can roll. He can go with Brock Lesnar, and I think that it will be a competitive match at WrestleMania. But we'll see what happens at WrestleMania. I'm not gonna make any predictions right now, but I think Brock will win decisively. If you're gonna ask me today.
Time will tell on that one, Jeff. I mean, you kind of make a good point on that, but like I said, we'll see.
No, I make a great point on that.
Nah, I don't give that much credit. You see them building up towards a big payoff at Mania. My thing is, I just don't think it will live up to the billing of everything they've tried to build Goldberg up to be to compensate for the fact that obviously he does not look or act as the one, the Goldberg he was once in WCW. But again, we'll see what happens there. But speaking of caliber matches, AJ Styles and John Cena, like I mentioned before, had a match of the year, in my opinion. It started off kind of slow, and I was wondering where they're kind of going this. You saw a lot of frustration in John Cena's eyes, especially towards the tail end of the match, where they were definitely going for finishes, and John Cena was trying to obviously make history, and you could tell that maybe it was getting to him. We're seeing a different side of him. We've seen a different side of John Cena, Jeff, leading up to this match. More of an arrogant, more of a, you better recognize me and my accomplishments, which to me is very different from John Cena in total, because John Cena has never been the kind of guy, at least character-wise, that has gone out there and kind of put out his resume out there in the face of other people and kind of degraded them that way. It's usually always been the other way around, that, you know, John Cena can't wrestle, he's not good, everybody hates him, he sucks type of thing. So it was definitely an interesting dynamic going in, and the build-up, the vignette they built up to do this was getting me into it too. This match was amazing. You know, kudos goes out to John Cena. Congratulations to him for tying Ric Flair's record. Despite what you want to say about the man, Jeff, in terms of a character and how I can't stand the whole hustle, loyalty, respect thing and the jean shorts and all that stuff, he's one heck of a guy, especially after the match when he went to one of the Make-A-Wish Foundation kids and gave him the belt and took a photo with him. Just shows you what a stand-up guy he is. In terms of AJ Styles, again, would you expect anything less from AJ Styles? He's proven once again, while in my opinion, he's a bona fide Hall of Famer as well, and how him,
I'm
like
getting
Chris
emotional
Jericho, I'm getting emotional.
And how God, he needs to be the champion.
I'm like Kevin Smith on the Batman Dark Knight Rises. I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm not going to be able to do it. That's so stupid. But anyway, AJ Styles just shows he's a bona fide Hall of Famer. Sorry, bona fide Hall of Famer. And him, like Chris Jericho, Jeff, these kind of guys that we see now on a day-to-day basis, we just have to spend time and really sit back, like Chris Jericho says, and drink it in. Because to see guys and talented guys like AJ Styles and Chris Jericho, it just doesn't come around that often. So you just appreciate seeing it here, because you don't know how much longer you're going to see AJ. Not that he's retiring anytime soon, but again, just shows you how great he is, and it's just a shame he didn't come here earlier. But like he said, it wasn't the right time for him.
Let me tell you, John Cena, sometimes two guys just get in the ring and they make magic, and every time they get in the ring, there's magic. Same thing with AJ Styles and Roman Reigns. I think that those matches in the summertime, they were magic. I think those were really good matches, and I think that's just the style that AJ works. He can have a match with anybody. And I give props to John Cena, because through the years, as he's gotten into his late 30s, he's actually gotten into being a better wrestler. There's no more the five moves of doom by John Cena. I think he's expanded.
Kind of does that.
But when he has to, here's the thing. While Brian's trying to prove me wrong, I'm saying that John Cena, yes, he has his typical maneuvers, but I think that he's added more to his arsenal. So I think that, I mean, there's that maneuver, I don't even know what you name it, where he kind of looks like the Canadian Destroyer that he did on AJ Styles, and I was impressed that he does that. So I think he's added more to his repertoire, and I think that John Cena, you credit him.
Let me ask you a question, Jeff. How many times do you see that move that he just did?
Late in his career, he's added to his arsenal. I'm not saying he did that back in 2008, but I'm saying as he's, you know, gotten older, he's become more of an entertaining wrestler. Because back then, it'd be like boom, 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 five moves, John Cena, then, you know, Attitude Adjustment or the STF. You know what I mean? So, you know, now he's a little bit more entertaining. He can actually, you know, go a little bit more. So I don't think you can't make the claim that, oh, he's boring or same old stuff. I think John Cena has just gotten better. His match with AJ Styles, you find a dance partner and you can watch them dance forever. They actually could wrestle seven more times before Mania and I would watch it and I'd be entertained. I'm not a big fan of getting up from each other's finishers, but it works with Cena and AJ Styles. So I'm a huge fan of their work, huge fan of their matches, and the only thing that's upsetting is that AJ Styles is not the champion on SmackDown anymore, and because it's going to be a transitional move, I'm not sure why the move was necessarily made. I think you could have glorified John Cena's 16-time win, you know, maybe, you know, towards the summertime, his chase, you know, for 16, but if he's only going to be a transitional champion, you know, why was that move made? And that's, to me, what I question the most out of this matchup. Kind of takes a little away knowing that most likely John Cena is not going to be champion after Elimination Chamber.
Well, I kind of see it, Jeff. I get your argument on that, but I would also have to repute that, saying that why would I wait till John Cena does it during the summer? Because how much more is he going to be around? He's definitely taking some time off during WrestleMania. And you could hold it up till then, but I mean, do we really want to do it the same thing where John Cena goes away for 2-3 months and he finds himself again back in the main event picture?
Yeah, but I think there could have been more promotion for the 16th time. I know they're going to bring Ric Flair out, but they said not to because it just, for, you know, they
because
weren't going to celebrate.
The biggest payoff is going to be when he hits 17, which he's going to hit 17.
But still, tying something, you still get out of it. If he ties it in during the summertime, it would make more sense. Well, I'm thinking of it as a marketing thing. You're thinking of, I don't know whether it's instant gratification, whether it's something like, you know, why, what's the difference between now and where. I'm thinking about marketing. I'm thinking about the
chase.
How
am I thinking instant gratification when you're trying to make, and they've built up the promotion, the return to the Alamo Dome in 20 years, do you remember? You want them to say, do you remember the time at the Royal Rumble where John Cena tied Ric Flair's record, become 16-time champion? And then, hey, it's always exciting when people tie records. Yes, it's an historic moment. But what's more historic, Jeff, is when they break the record. So that's all I'm saying. From a promotional standpoint, it didn't make sense. Maybe they weren't emphasizing and focusing on the 16-time championship reign, but they were promoting it as a memorable thing because we've been talking about this several weeks already, several months. They're trying to build the events that you and I grew up watching in the 90s, like SummerSlam, Survivor Series, the Royal Rumble, and WrestleMania. They're trying to build those as individual, separate WrestleMania events themselves. So why wouldn't you do that for the Royal Rumble?
I don't think doing for the Royal Rumble is what's wrong. I just think that I think it was all focused on John Cena claiming that AJ Styles was, you know, just the guy, just that guy. And I think the focus was made more on, hey, he could tie for the 16th time. I think, honestly, I think it should have been marketed better. I mean, if you tie a record too, I think it also should be celebrated. Of course, when you break the record, it's going to be more acknowledged and it's going to be more praised. But tying that record too is very significant. I just thought that there should have been more a promotion, more marketing, and just the significance of him tying Ric Flair's record. And just by not having Ric Flair come out and at least congratulate John Cena, it was kind of like, well, you know what I mean? They recognize it that it's only going to be a transitional champion anyway. So I just think that the 15th was short-lived. 16th is going to be short-lived again. And then 17th, I'm just like, wow, you know, the marketing should be much better for that.
So real quick, because we got to move on here, if John Cena breaks number 17 and then Ric Flair comes out and congratulates him, does that make it more marketable? Does that make more sense then? Or do you bring him there when he ties him?
To me, again, listen,
does it make up for it? Would it make up for it if Ric Flair came out when he broke it and became 17-time world champion.
Yeah, it would make up for it. But just my issue is that you're going to tie with the 16th, and then you're not going to... I guess my issue is there's no more long title runs. There's no more, for example, John Cena wins it, and he takes it to Mania. And then, you know, unfortunately, we get Orton and Cena.
Yeah. And believe me, we wouldn't want John Cena to have a long title run either.
You'd like the 16th title, the tying one, to also be a significant run. And I think that's what I'm trying to say, and the marketing of it as well. But AJ Styles, John Cena stole the show. The only, maybe one of the two matches on SmackDown.
I'm glad John Cena's only going to have it for 2 weeks. He's had enough title, long title reigns in his career, Jeff. It's time to move over, give it to some other people. He better recognize that.
Just kudos to AJ Styles and John Cena on a great match. And then we get to the other match, and I told you last week that, you know, I'm not really looking forward to it. We've seen so many versions of Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns in the last month or two that, you know, what am I looking forward to? And, you know, I kind of got shut up because I thought this was a very entertaining matchup. Chris Jericho was hilarious again up on the Shark Tank. I thought that Roman Reigns, again, showed great offensive maneuvers. I'm kind of sick of the Superman punches, though. And Kevin Owens is just a great heel and a great worker and, again, gets the win because of, you know, help by Braun Strowman. And, I mean, he wins in typical heel fashion. I don't think winning in heel fashion hurts Kevin Owens because he is a heel. So I thoroughly enjoyed the match. They went about 25 minutes, and I think when you look at this, I really don't find one boring point during the match, and just a credit to both guys, but you're like looking here and you're like, okay, Roman Reigns, you know, came up short. And then we would have been like, I respect him. But then he comes out the Royal Rumble number 30, and then I hate him again because I think he's handed everything to him by the WWE because they want to shove him down our throats. So it was feeling good for Roman Reigns at one point, then really disliking Roman Reigns. Your take on the match between Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns?
I'm just glad it was over. That's my take on it.
You weren't a fan of it?
I wasn't a fan of it. I thought the match was okay. I didn't think it was anything to, for example, be an olive or anything like that. John Cena, well, you know, I'm talking about Roman Reigns here. I think both of them worked well together. But, you know, I've kind of seen this before, too. It's kind of a similar situation where we'd see, you know, Dean Ambrose against Kevin Owens. We've seen these already before. They're trying to build it up to a bigger scenario. I thought they kind of failed in kind of building up the Universal title, which they've been trying to for the longest time. And in my opinion, have really failed miserably at bringing some type of prestige to it. So, to me, it was an okay match. It was really nothing to cry home about. And ultimately, Kevin Owens retains the title, and Roman Reigns then moves on and looks like he'll be having his own type
of
title.
What didn't you like about the match?
Nothing. Did nothing for me.
Wow. I don't know. Maybe your dislike towards Roman Reigns maybe sometimes blinds you from seeing what to me was a good quality match.
Well, I think your lack of coffee right now is blinding you for the mere fact that, you know, this whole time we're talking about how great... Are you gonna tell me if we're comparing the two title reigns, the WWE Championship and the WWE Universal title, which one, despite the fact that you were going on and on about 16 time and how it needs to be promoted, you're trying to tell me that buildup to see AJ Styles and John Cena, who I've gone about and we've gone about before, isn't that good of a wrestler? You said he's added stuff to his repertoire. And then Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns, which one are you going to see? Obviously, I already know the answer. You don't even answer that.
But you're not impressed by the spots that Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens did?
What spots did they do that were so amazing besides chair?
You didn't like the frog splash on the table?
I've seen that before.
Wow. I mean,
it was an impactful. All right. So tell me, Jeff, how many spots were there that were memorable? All right. You said the frog splash on the table. Obviously, the chair pyramid that Kevin Owens made, that he obviously took the brunt of it being knocked off the ring apron. What else did he do that was memorable?
Well, I mean, first of all, too, then also the Braun Strowman chokeslam on Roman Reigns with the one hand was very impressive, which is part of the match, which added to the feud between Roman Reigns and eventually Braun Strowman. And then just altogether, the match was just, I think, well executed. I just don't think there was like, oh, man, let me fast forward this. I think it was a very watchable match. Was it better than Cena and Styles? No, I'm not saying it's better than that. But the way you're poo-pooing it, I don't think it should be treated that bad. I really think it was a good match. I think that they did a great job.
So it's just a good match. It wasn't a great match.
I'm not saying it was a great match, but I think the way you say it, coming like, oh, well, you know.
I was just glad it was over. What do you want me to say? Do you want me to make up the fact, oh, you're right, Jeff, it was an amazing... No, I was okay. I think it was an okay match. I gave you my reasons for it. There were okay spots, but the build-up to this created no anticipation. It wasn't a scientific match or something I was looking at, oh, wow, look at this. These two guys are going. It was punch, punch, kick, you know, cannonball, high spot here, no pun intended, guys. And, you know, a big finish of interference in Braun Strowman. So, what, Kevin Owens couldn't beat him clean? Because they need to build up Braun Strowman as his dominant guy. So he has to help Kevin Owens because they're working on the same thing, Jeff, you complain about, not making Kevin Owens look like a strong champion. He couldn't beat him by himself this one time. No,
but he's
he needs Braun Strowman.
Are we forgetting what heels do? They win, they cheat all the time?
I know what they're supposed to do, but for the last couple weeks and the last couple months, it seems like you've forgotten what heels do.
Byron Saxton is the only person.
They've been booking Kevin Owens wrong. That's what you've been saying.
I've never said they've been booking Kevin Owens
yes,
wrong.
You have.
I've never said they've been. I said they've been booking like this whole match wrong. And when you talk about anticipation and you're talking about pushing and marketing this, yeah, the marketing's been crap because they've been giving us all types of matches. It's not the same as they did with Cena and Styles. But for example, if they would have marketed the Cena Styles with the prestige of being the champion for the 16th time and just how much, you know, it would have meant to John Cena to break it, then yeah, it would have been. It'd be great, but. We're missing the point that I just don't see why you poo-poo this matchup when I think it was...
I poo-poo this matchup, Jeff, because that's my opinion. I wasn't a fan of it. I don't know what more you want me to say.
But I just... I guess I'm having trouble seeing it from your point of view of, like, what was so wrong with this match that you're just like... You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying. That just made you go, it's not my cup of tea.
And I said, and I told you, what about this match would have made me change my mind? You gave me a few examples, but that's not changing my mind. So it's just a difference of opinion, Jeff, which we're allowed to have. I wasn't for the match. For whatever, you know, I gave you my reasons. I didn't think the promotion was good. I didn't like the build-up to it. I thought it was more comedical, obviously. You had the Jericho aspect of it. And then the Braun Strowman thing, I'm like, oh, here we go. Can we give some type of credibility? I get he's a heel. But even the best heels, like Triple H, who's the best heel, I think, as champion in a long time, even he won a couple singles titles by himself with no help because he just beat the guy clean. Not that it's a big deal to be a guy clean, but I just didn't think it was that big of a deal and that big of an event of a match. Was it a good match? Yeah, it wasn't a good match, but didn't speak anything to me like John Cena and AJ Styles, which is an unfair comparison, but there you go. But another thing that was very historic, too, is that Charlotte defending the WWE Raw Women's Championship is now Jeff. I think she's going to try to break Goldberg's record now. She's going to be 16-0 on pay-per-views, defeating Bayley. Now, can you argue with me on this one, Jeff? I think the way they've been using Bayley and the way they're trying to promote this, I think they just exhausted us so much from Charlotte and Sasha that now when Bayley gets involved in here, the momentum was lost and it kind of just lost a little bit of its luster. It was a good match, but just the anticipation and the crowd being behind Bayley and the whole true underdog story kind of lost its luster. Or would you disagree with me?
No, I think we still have Sasha Banks, Charlotte hangover.
Yeah.
And I think that this is not the right time for Bayley to, you know, take the title away from her. And again, we're going to get to the main word, promotion, marketing, advertising. I think that it needs to be on a bigger stage. Not that the Rumble's not a bigger stage, but a better lead-in. And I think WrestleMania would be the time where, you know, that changes hands for Bayley. And I think you show that underdog story. Because if you're going to invest in a character like Bayley, who's... one, you know, the ultimate female underdog, at least, then
she's like the female Daniel Bryan. No, John Cena.
Yeah, then you're going to build her up that way. So I have no problem with the match. It was a good match. Both women worked well. But again, to me, it's the right move having Charlotte remain the champion. And I think a switch like that probably would be good for like WrestleMania or so. We'll see what direction they go with for the women's title. Maybe a fatal four-way. But no issue whatsoever. It was a good matchup. And again, it just was a very strong undercard this year for the Royal Rumble.
It's funny how you say that. Speaking of the direction of where they're going with Charlotte and now compared to Sasha Banks being decimated by Nia Jax. I mean, Sasha Banks doesn't even get on the Royal Rumble card, Jeff. She's on the pre-show. But a few other surprises, despite that was a big surprise. I didn't think Nia Jax would be that dominant. But they're playing that whole injured knee angle. Who knows? Maybe a possible heel turn
by
Sasha
Banks. The way. I really don't like that, by the way. It's kind of getting old, that whole injury thing is just, to me, you know, it's running its course. It shouldn't really be the focal point of Sasha Banks. Do we really need to see her every time we pan in the locker room, her getting her leg taped up? And it just, not that it's on purpose, making an excuse that she's hurt, but still, I mean, what does WWE want to do? Like, subliminally tell us that she's brittle? I mean, we can see evidently that, you know, that injuries are taking a toll in her career. And I don't know. It just, to me, it's just like we're already sympathetic with Sasha. I don't think we need to see more injuries with Sasha Banks. But, hey, Nia Jax getting the push. She, you know, not that she deserves.
She's not like most girls.
Not like most girls, but she's getting a huge push. And her
and I actually have to compliment
Sasha,
her, too, of actually improving in the ring. She's actually getting better. She's, you know, how people would say about, I mean, I'm not comparing her to the Big Show, but when she's compared to the other women in that division, she's a giant. So she's working like a dominant woman. So you could definitely see that in how she just basically threw Sasha Banks around, again, playing with that injury that, again, like you said, they're focusing on her being brittle. But again, another couple things to be excited about. Neville, finally, I'm calling him Adrian Neville, is the new king of the cruiserweights. And a little surprise, too, but a little bit late, you know, better late than never, I guess, right? The club, Gallows and Anderson, are the new WWE Raw Tag Team Champ. I mean, I really thought they were going to try to give Cesaro and Sheamus a chance here, but I guess they switched around.
Kind of makes
little too
late. Kind of makes New Day's streak a little bit meaningless, too, when, you know, they beat them and then they can't hold the tag team titles for more than a month. And, you know, hopefully the club does something with it. Gallows and Anderson, very happy for them. Long overdue. But in, like you said before, the tag team division right now, you have the New Day that has like nothing to do right now. Gallows and Anderson, where exactly do they fit in? Are they going to continue to feud with Sheamus and Cesaro? Looks like kind of Sheamus and Cesaro are leading to like maybe a split soon. I don't know. Tensions are high between them. I don't know. Just a very, very shaky scene in the tag team division on Raw. So, and listen, Neville, hopefully he's the breath of fresh air as a heel for the cruiserweight division because, listen, we're very supportive of the 205 Live and the Cruiserweight Classic, and these Cruiserweights are very entertaining. Their story just needs to be told more, but hopefully Neville could be that heel that, you know, they can use to just give, you know, 205 Live and those Cruiserweights like some validity, because Rich Swann and Neville had a very entertaining match, and Rich Swann is one of those guys that you know, once you get to know him and you see what he does in the ring, you're just blown away by his ability. So, you know, the match is really good, and hopefully Neville is a breath of fresh air to the cruiserweight division.
Definitely, he'll be a staple there, which will be a nice pillar in terms of, I always felt, and still feel to this day, the heel champion obviously outshines the babyface champion. You always want somebody to chase after that guy rather than obviously the hero on top all the time, defending against all adversity. So, nice change of pace, and I couldn't be happier for Neville. New look, new attitude, and like you said, Jeff, it's a breath of fresh air for somebody who's really, really talented, and hopefully they give him a chance, because right now 205 Live, in my opinion, is suffering greatly, and they need something.
What would you be your final report card for the Royal Rumble? What would you give it?
I would give it a B. I think a lot of good quality matches. Obviously, AJ Styles and John Cena, to me, saved what seemed to be a show that was kind of dragging a little bit. And then the Royal Rumble match itself kind of brought down from what it was an A to a B, just because, not the whole Roman Reigns things. But again, I mean, another person I'm throwing in there, and nothing against the guy James Ellsworth, but I mean, we can't have somebody else in that spot. We have to have James Ellsworth as a joke to be tossed over the ring the way he did. And what an vicious way by Braun Strowman, too. So to me, the Royal Rumble match itself was... it lacked a lot of luster, so that's where I give it a B.
I would guess a B plus. I would give it just because I was a little bit more high on Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens. AJ Styles, John Cena stole the show. Again, all the matches are really good. Royal Rumble match, thinking about it now, a few days removed, seeing for what it's worth. You know, it was disappointing because of the surprises, but all in all, the Royal Rumble match, when that 5-4-3-2-1, my heart was still pounding, so I'll give them that for the anticipation. But you're right, B plus A, because I just wish it would have been, I guess, number 30 will haunt me till next year, because that's why I give it a B plus and not an A.
Yeah, definitely, they had opportunities here, and I guess they stuck to their guns, and you know, we'll see what happens as the weeks led on to Elimination Chamber.
And Elimination Chamber is just 2 weeks away. Yeah. So there's no time to rest for the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, for John Cena. There's no time to rest. And very significant now, because he's got to defend his title against five other guys in that contraption known as the Elimination Chamber. And, you know, you got guys like Baron Corbin, The Miz, Bray Wyatt, Dean Ambrose in that matchup. So it's going to be interesting. AJ Styles will be in there. And very interesting to see that AJ Styles does not get his singles rematch until maybe after Elimination Chamber. You know, your thoughts on this whole, you know, pay-per-view, and we were talking before last week or so, just, you know, wow, why put these guys in such a dangerous match right before WrestleMania. You know what I mean? Why put them, you know, after Grueling Royal Rumble, why put them in a matchup like Elimination Chamber, Brian? Your thoughts?
Well, to me, what will be beneficial to SmackDown Live is the mere fact, Jeff, you mentioned, you know, AJ Styles trying to get his rematch one-on-one. AJ had mentioned that to Shane and Daniel Bryan. They said he will get it. But I guess it's going to determine on time which AJ, Shane, and Daniel Bryan can figure it out. You like to hope it's before Elimination Chamber. You don't know. If it's afterwards, it'd be kind of difficult just for the mere fact if John Cena does lose the title, then where does that put AJ? He still hasn't gotten his rematch. So, you know, that's a lot of things to discuss. But in terms of Elimination Chamber, I'm kind of happy it's back. It's been a while since we haven't seen it. And I think the Elimination Chamber match, as grueling as it is, and you had the discussion with me that why would you put these individuals in such a very brutal match that is just calling for injuries to occur. Granted, I give you that. But it's always good to see around this time because it's something we haven't seen in a while, and it could showcase some other talent, hence being, I can't believe I'm saying this, a guy like Baron Corbin, who, for me, I still am not invested in him, but now I can safely say I'm seeing another side of him. I'm seeing more of his character, his personality, which he's kind of basically being himself. We said a lot of that had to do with Talking Smack, which they have on the network after 205 Live, which really allows the talent to kind of showcase their own personality and treat it more like a post-fight show of these guys really kind of talking a little bit about themselves in real life and also being in character at the same time. So it's worked for Baron Corbin, I think, and something like this, he can shine. Miz right now has obviously worked himself into that main event title run picture, I feel, after what he's done with the Intercontinental Championship. But again, why is Dean Ambrose in this? He's already the champion. So you're telling me Elimination Chamber, the IC title, will not be on the line again.
And here's my question to you. And it's just a question that seems to pop up every month or so, or every few months. Why does the IC title always lose momentum? Why can it not just carry the momentum? I mean, it was dependent on The Miz. And then once that's gone, you can't make it worthy of being prestigious again. Like, I don't understand.
I don't get it either, Jeff. For me to try to figure out the answer, it's like, it goes back to the situation, Jeff, where we're like, yeah, we're not the bookers. But even if we were the bookers, we probably still wouldn't get it right because people would be bitching and complaining about how we're booking stuff. To me, the IC title and the United States title should have their separate rivalries. Those should not interfere with the world title, whether it be the Universal title or the WWE Championship. They should not be included in the same storyline because if history serves me correctly, and I know, guys, it's not 1990 or 1985, I get it, but titles like the Intercontinental Championship and the United States title were meant to be for individuals who were next in line to be the top guys. So they were the workhorses. They're the ones that, believe it or not, as much as the championship matches like the World Title, Universal, or WWE Championship were on the line and they were selling the arenas, you wanted to see the Intercontinental Championship match. You wanted to see United States title match in WCW because that was going to be the one that stole the show. That was going to be the one that was going to be the most competitive. That's why Jeff and I always go back and forth about prestige because for the longest time, and you know, I bash John Cena, right, in terms of a wrestling standpoint. But again, the United States title got its luster back when John Cena started doing those open challenges. The Miz, after everything people talk about him, Daniel Bryan saying he wrestles like a coward, as big as a fan I am of Daniel Bryan, I think he's wrong because you know what? Despite the fact of what his wrestling style is, The Miz has done a great job of bringing prestige back to the Intercontinental Championship. So how do these guys get rewarded? They're moving up to the main event roster spots and they're getting their opportunities. But what do you do then? Roman Reigns is in the main event spot. So is now The Miz. So what? Now Dean Ambrose is the champion. He's going to fight for the title. Chris Jericho looks like he's going to get into rivalry with Sami Zayn after defeating him on Raw. But again, it's not defended enough. And enough's enough, man. Like, we can't figure out. You think it's simple, but apparently it's not because it doesn't work in this day and age, I guess.
Like, I just shake my head, man. I just shake my head. Like, John Cena brought legitimacy. Hopefully, Chris Jericho will be fighting champion, which I think he will. I think just he would not let the U.S. title just be stagnant, at least for as long as he holds it. So here's keeping my fingers crossed. But the Intercontinental title, like you said, once you saw Hogan, once you were there for the entrance and the I Am a Real American and him fighting and, you know, getting what you got from Hogan, the IC champion at that point basically was the workhorse, just like you said. And the mere fact that title doesn't even get defended at the Royal Rumble, where it was begging for a Dean Ambrose Miz fight where it could have been somewhere found in that card. And it's just not. And now that title gets lost in the Elimination Chamber match itself, you're right. They need to keep it separate. They need to, you know what, that have that Intercontinental title on somebody that deserves it. Or not even that. Dean Ambrose deserves it. I mean, somebody that could get benefit the most out of it. Just don't put it on Dean Ambrose because he's Dean Ambrose. Put it on a guy like, you know, Dolph Ziggler's not in the thing. Put it on him. Put it on Apollo Crews. Put it on somebody. You do a great job pushing guys. Put it on somebody like that. And even if we get an Apollo Crews versus a Kalisto match, you know what? At least it's serving its purpose and building up somebody, especially on SmackDown, which is very, it's top heavy on the main event guys, but then not too much in the mid-carders. You have a very good tag team division, but just the mid-carders right now, they're struggling, man. And that's why when Samoa Joe went on Raw, which I thought
they have no identity.
Yeah, those mid-carders don't
really. So that's why the IC title would help them develop an identity.
Yeah, because it would, hey, Paul Cruz, Intercontinental Champion, that's fine. And then you could have him, you know, give him a 10-15 minute match with somebody on SmackDown. Don't just, I would say, just don't tuck away the Intercontinental title and just put it on Dean Ambrose and just.
And believe me, Jeff, there's no offense to you saying, you know, no disrespect to Dean Ambrose, but honestly, Dean Ambrose right now doesn't even need a title.
No.
He's over.
Yep.
He's a guy that doesn't need a championship in order to be in main event matches and to be in high caliber matches. Guys like Dolph Ziggler, unfortunately, he's had it like 20 million times now, hasn't really done anything with it. But guys like, I can't believe I'm saying this, Kalisto, Baron Corbin, or even Apollo Crews, guys who've had no identity. I mean, guys. Take a step back real quick and we'll move on by this. But even a guy as great as a Hall of Famer like Shawn Michaels, back then when he was trying to find himself after he tried to leave the Rockers and become his own man, got his identity by becoming the Intercontinental Champion. He developed who he was and developed his character, and from there he came to be one of the greatest Intercontinental Champions of all time as well.
The only title I will ever say, you remember you told me that the title shouldn't make you, but you should make the title.
Yeah.
I think in this case, I think the only title that where you can make an argument where the title makes the guy could be the Intercontinental Championship. Because just having that title on that person could really help make somebody. And also, it depends on what level you're at.
But I think it's been so damaged right now, you need guys to build it up, wouldn't you say?
I would too, but if you have...
That's what Miz did.
See,
he built it up.
I would... Right now, I say Apollo Crews, but I think the guy that would have a great run with the Intercontinental title would be a guy like Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
But he's not going to get it because he's up on the main event matchup right now. So
quickly. Because they're running out of top guys because they're not spring chickens anymore. But, moving on to that, I mean, you're talking about these titles and the prestige they get, right?
Oh, and by the way, eventually that title is going to get remodeled again. And so that, to me, that bothers me that they're going to get rid of that beautiful,
the classic
looking classic Intercontinental title.
Well, I look at it this way, Jeff. I was upset the first time they switched it over from the classic Intercontinental Championship to what it was back then in the Attitude Era, and they switched it back. It looked like a bracelet, basically, a hospital bracelet. And now they're going to change it there. I get everything wants to be in unison, but, you know, it's a losing battle. We don't know what's going to go on with that. But let's talk a little bit, Jeff, about NXT TakeOver. That was obviously before the Royal Rumble match. And what did you take from NXT TakeOver and the whole event leading up to it? Did it help bring up the talent for the main roster during the Royal Rumble? I mean, we graded it already. Or more importantly, did it give you more anticipation to what to expect leading into Sunday?
I had a rough weekend. I'm not going to lie. Looking very forward to the whole Royal Rumble weekend, which is TakeOver and the Royal Rumble. Now, stuff beyond my control happened where just was like, whoa, I was very even looking more forward to watching TakeOver and the Royal Rumble just because you have those kind of days, you have those kind of weeks, right? And I'm looking and I'm thinking, I think it was more like, you know, when Christmas time comes and you're waiting for Christmas Eve and you're waiting to open your presents. And that's how, to me, TakeOvers in the Royal Rumble are, or TakeOvers in WrestleMania are. It's like a whole lead into. So Christmas Eve is TakeOver. And I think that it's just that we've been so spoiled and we've been just seeing TakeOver after TakeOver just, you know, just
knock
it out of the park. You know, we're like, we watch it, we get ready to see it. And we're like, oh, I think TakeOver was really good. I just don't think it was outstanding, you know, and it has nothing to do with the main event.
Which is going to happen. It's going
to
happen.
The main event went above and beyond, and we'll get to the main event. But I think like Triple H said before last week, I think that with the travel, with the tours that they did, with everything going on with the call-ups, I just don't think they've had the time to... I love how they've done the women's division and they've, you know, added more depth to it.
Yeah.
I just don't think they've had enough time to revamp the just the whole other division, just the whole men's division. And there's where we go with the secondary title, where something like that would happen, where if you put it on a guy like Andrade Cien Almas, when you have them fight for something else, I think it makes sense to have a secondary title. But I just don't think that we've gotten to know these other guys that have happened. I think it's the roster's deep. I just don't think we know them. Like Roderick Strong, he was in the tag team with Austin Aries. We miss Austin Aries. We wish Austin Aries was back there. It would really add more depth. Roderick Strong, we're just getting to know him. Mm-hmm. We want to know why he's here. We've learned a lot of why he's here in a win over Andrade Cien Almas. But then you're like, wow, I feel bad for Cien Almas because here's a guy that very talented in the ring, but he just... he's going to get lost if he loses. The problem with NXT is that if you lose, you're going to get lost because your only goal is the NXT championship. So the more you lose, the more you're going to be back in the fold. Like, for example...
Or the more difficulty would be that, you know, by losing, you get put back in the fold. For the people who get called up, and then you have to rebuild these guys as caliber to go for an NXT championship, you're kind of hurting them in the way.
Yeah.
Doing the same thing, right?
So, I mean, don't get me wrong. Roderick Strong and Cien Almas, while, yes, it was a good match, you know, these guys are... we're starting to know them, okay? Cien Almas was in a losing streak. Roderick Strong, this is his first debut on TakeOver. Unless you're wrestling Mark like we are, we know Roderick Strong was in Ring of Honor. We know he was all over the world.
God, Cien Almas, but we are marks, aren't we? We're marks, man.
Cien Almas, this guy was not the best wrestler in Mexico, but we don't know because they've taken his mask away. They've changed his gimmick a little bit. Got to get used to it. My disappointing thing is Eric Young, Ty Dillinger. Ty Dillinger's on a losing streak. Eric Young, this is practically like a debut match at TakeOver. So we're like, okay, it's new. The thing that disappointed me was the women's match. Okay. Not because Nikki Cross and Asuka, but it was more like the Peyton Royce and
Billy Kay.
I just don't know. It was just like you thought about Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
I just think it was too dramatic, too emotional. Man, when you got and Corey Graves was begging them, you got to cover her. You know, I know there's times where you're, you know, exasperated because you don't know what more you have to do to pin the person. But it was just like, there's too many times where they're just like, they just look like they didn't belong there because they didn't know what to do afterwards. And it really hurt the match. And then Nikki Cross being hurt for that long up on stage, which I think was a great spot, which really, you know, showed the teamwork of Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, which is great. But I think the emotions in the ring, I think it just, you know, it killed it. It just was a very sluggish match. And I think it just showed that Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, not that they're not ready, really, but in the match, it just didn't look like they were ready what to do afterwards. You know, they just kind of look, okay, now what do I do? You know, it just was like out of whack.
Yeah, it was their first big moment in the spotlight there. I don't know whether that was kind of what they were supposed to do or that's what they were feeling at that time, but that's probably, yeah, one of the most disappointing things for, like, we know what Nikki Cross, we know what obviously Asuka can do, but I mean, you're talking before, Jeff, about the depth of this women's division and how, you know, women like Billy Kay, Peyton Royce had an opportunity here to kind of showcase a little bit more and kind of demonstrate that, you know, who knows how much longer Asuka's going to be there. And not saying she's going to be called up anytime soon, but again, you know, you have to always plan for the future and plan ahead. And this was an opportunity that was blown. So, yeah, I kind of feel the same way. The women's title was type of thing.
And
but,
DIY and the other was a pain.
That one really hurt.
I just
really
let go of Team DIY. I really liked them. I really cheered for them. Really,
me too.
Yeah, you know, got behind them. I kind of felt the emotion of NXT Brooklyn, felt the emotion of Toronto, you know, and then just lose so abruptly and to
it
the Authors of Pain.
And this is where I'm against. I don't know about you, but this is where I'm against when a certain team, like the Authors of Pain, have that much momentum going in because they won the Dusty Rhodes Classic. I'm like, all right, they have a lot of momentum. I know they have a look about them. Are you going to go with them all the way now? Is it the right time? Why not give these guys, not necessarily you owe people their moment, but it's like, why do this right now? Because the Authors of Pain, they're only going to benefit by doing that.
You know, but one thing that I really had an old school feel was Nakamura and Bobby Roode. I think they knocked it out of the park. And we're talking about
it. I was done after the entrance,
Jim. like we said we were going to be. I needed to smoke afterwards. I had goosebumps and I had the hairs on my arms stick up because after it was like watching Apollo Creed come out in Rocky. It was so much everything.
Which Rocky?
Pop insert.
Rocky
first
Four?
One.
Oh, no, first one?
First one.
Okay.
It was the pops, the pomp and circumstance of these two guys and their entrances, which they have number one and number two, whichever way you want to put it, one and 1A of entrances in the WWE. And then they
Which
met,
is 1A?
I don't know. It's your it's each their own.
Okay, I got you.
I'm going to go with Glorious, though. Right, I don't know why.
You're being safe on that one, because I know you were a huge fan of Nakamura's entrances, but then when Bobby Roode came in with that Glorious thing, you were like...
Talk about it. Talk about an
it was
entrance.
It was on your phone.
Talk
for
about
kind of
an entrance
long.
That any wrestler would kill to have, because that entrance is made Bobby Roode in WWE. In
funny it was that wasn't his original entrance
no.
coming in.
No, and then they
last minute they switched, and he's like, all right, we'll give it a try. Best decision he ever made.
And then... I've told you this, and for example, my dad, who loves to say, hey, you still watch wrestling at this age, and we'll watch the match. And
screw him.
Not a huge fan of Bobby Roode, and I'll tell you what the issue is with Bobby Roode. We were talking about it. I try to compare it. If you compare it to football, he's the West Coast offense. He's the dink and dunk. He'll pass on third down, but he'd rather run the ball. That's his offense, which is fine. And, you know, sometimes it can be methodical. But when you mix up with Nakamura, I think they had good chemistry. And then the psychology of the match, the fact that Nakamura got hurt, the fact the Valiant Hero came in when he should have been hurt and he should have, you know, they should have stopped the match. He chose to fight and then, you know, eventually had, you know, eventually lost. It's just well done how it should be. You know, and then the fact that they have the medical staff look at Nakamura and they look at the leg while Bobby Roode celebrates. That's how it should always be done. It's not hard how to book a match when you do it like that. And it doesn't hurt Nakamura at all. It makes him even more valiant as a fighting champion. So I think that match really saved TakeOver a lot. I think that's why when you mark it, I'm going to give it a TakeOver a B. But if that matchup wasn't there, I would say that TakeOver in general was maybe like a C, C plus.
Yeah, I mean, I would say probably in the B level C, despite the fact that, you know, Nakamura and Bobby Roode thought
What'd
was
you
a really
think of the
good
match?
One. I liked the match, but the thing is, yeah, it's kind of, here's the thing, I liked the match, but it's probably not everybody's, you know, bread and butter. It's not everybody, it's an acquired taste, basically, what I'm trying to say. You made a great comparison to Bobby Roode being the West Coast style offense type of thing. He's not flashy, I mean, his entrance is flashy, but when he's in the ring, he doesn't do a lot of high spots, no pun intended. Or maybe. Or he doesn't do a lot of, you know, he's sound, and that's what it is. But a lot of it comes with his charisma, his character, and like you said, the psychology in the match. When the story is built, and we've debated about this with Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns, right, from the Royal Rumble. To me, when the story is built and the anticipation's there, the match itself doesn't have to be a, you know, jumping off the top rope and doing these dangerous spots and things like that. I think sometimes people do that to add more to it. But let's look, for example, John Cena and AJ Styles. They didn't do anything outside the ring. It all stayed in there. And that's what was so great about Shinsuke and Bobby Roode. They stayed in the ring. They didn't go to the outside as much and do any dangerous maneuvers. It was just in there. Psychology was great. Story was great. And like you said, towards the tail end, Nakamura still looks as a valiant fighting champion. And Bobby Roode has finally, you know, started his era, which he calls the Bobby Roode era. And like he said it from, you know, close to almost a year when he went to NXT TakeOver in Dallas, that he wanted to change NXT. Even prior to being signed by WWE, he wanted to bring NXT to the new level. And I think with him as champion right now, and taking nothing away from Nakamura, he has that ability now to bring NXT to newer heights where it hasn't been yet.
And I cannot wait to see the very first episode of NXT with Bobby Roode as a champion when he comes there and he sees NXT in his image, and I'm sure that will be glorious. And finally, Brian,
WWE 24, WrestleMania in Dallas. Yes, yeah. You're right, Jeff. I mean, we're talking about NXT TakeOver in San Antonio. We're talking about the Royal Rumble, obviously. All the results that led to Raw and SmackDown, which we'll dive more into as the weeks go by, leading up to Elimination Chamber. You're right. But I remember you telling me It's coming on right after Raw. I was like, we got to see this because Jeff and I were there. It's a lot of reminiscing, but Jeff, you know what I love more about it too is what we've been talking about, guys, and which we'll be doing as we lead up to WrestleMania in Orlando, is the atmosphere of the moments. If you guys went to Dallas or you guys haven't, you look at the behind the scenes, it really makes me appreciate even more than I do already, and I'm kissing butt here, of just everything that goes into not just the production of the show, but what goes into the thought process of developing this stuff. See guys like Triple H, in my opinion, Roman Reigns, and oh my God, Brian, you're giving Roman Reigns some credit? Yes, I am. Don't worry, I'm not hallucinating and I don't need coffee. To see women like Charlotte, to see AJ Styles and the New Day, to me, it was just so exciting. It made me relive all those moments we shared in Dallas.
Yeah, and like I said, Michael Cole kind of promoted it as probably the best 24/7 that they've done. I kind of beg to differ. I still think the San Jose one was pretty good.
Silicon Valley,
yeah. I think it was a little bit better than this one. It just felt a little shorter, too, than 31 Silicon Valley. Mm. But still, a little tear in my eye reminiscing about WrestleMania Dallas.
Are you Ric Flair now?
With a tear in my eye, I watched WrestleMania 32 Dallas, and you know, I kind of reminisced and looking forward to Orlando, brother. Looking forward to making new memories and looking forward to meeting everybody over there. It's the center of WWE, basically. If it's not here in up north, Orlando is the center of the WWE, the Performance Center. We're gonna take a look at, and we're gonna talk to our very interesting reporters, friends that we've met along the way, and hopefully do talk and shop.
Yeah.
And just looking forward to WrestleMania 32 Dallas, I think was really good. And I think you guys, if you get a chance, take a look at it, the network.
Sorry, Jeff. Besides the nostalgia factor, what did you get by rewatching it? Besides nostalgia of being there?
WWE does a good job in motivating people and telling you know what? If you have a dream, follow it and do it. The Zack Ryder thing was very poignant.
Exactly.
I mean, the guy battled cancer. We didn't know that till a few years ago, I think. Triple H, guy doesn't sleep. Guy looks at his role model as Vince. I know. And judging by this one, whoever listens to the public, yeah, these guys haven't really slept. Triple H, who's his motivating factor? Vince McMahon. He looks at Vince McMahon. It's like the guy doesn't sleep. He wears so many hats. One day he's in a production meeting. The next thing he's picking out the logo for whatever.
Yeah,
that's what you want to be. And as much as I make an excuse, listen, I go through personal stuff and, you know, I go to you, Brian, and I tell you about all stuff that I go through. And then when we hear the stories of other people that go through much worse, and then you look in the mirror and know that you can change it, what is it that keeps us from not doing it? And it's just us. And, you know, we just work hard at it. And I think what it does, I think what those do is just give you motivation. And again, I'm motivated. I just have to do it. Just like Triple H says.
Definitely. It also shows you, Jeff, a different perspective of we cover the world of professional wrestling, right? The WWE isn't the end-all, be-all, but you watch programs and specials like WWE 24, WrestleMania Dallas, you see how big this company, and more importantly, this profession really is, because this is theoretically the Super Bowl. We talk about Wrestle Kingdom 11, Kenny Omega and Okada. We talk about Ring of Honor. We talk about Lucha Underground, which we haven't done enough of. TNA, if it still exists, when we still talk about it. You know, all these things are great.
Impact now,
exactly. I wouldn't have known that without you, Jeff. Thank you. See, you didn't need coffee anyway. But you see all these things, and you see how globally it's there. And it's just amazing when you see everybody from all over the world come and see those events, which you and I, we've met a lot of interesting people when we've gone to those events, and hopefully more to come as the years go by for future WrestleManias. But it's amazing the atmosphere. It's amazing how you think it's a small little bubble, but it's gigantic. And that's what's watching the special on the network.
One day, when we make it big, we will repay those guys, those brothers from Iowa. Because to me, out of all the stories that we've had in New Orleans and New Jersey and California and Orlando that we will have, that story to me is still, we will find you guys from Iowa, because you guys are above and beyond hospitable. And to give us VIP tickets to see Daniel Bryan, WrestleMania 30 was about Daniel Bryan, and it just was icing on the cake for WrestleMania 30. The two brothers from Iowa, we will find you guys one day and we will repay you, because that is, to me, one of the best memory of any WrestleMania that we've had is getting to meet Daniel Bryan, because two great guys from Iowa.
Definitely. We'll always remember that, and can't wait to, you know, maybe run into him again. You know, the world, it's a small world when you go to WrestleMania. Although it's globally as big as the WWE is, it's a small world, and it's a great atmosphere when you get down there. So can't wait to talk about it. Can't wait to start discussing it and breaking down the cards to Elimination Chamber, Fastlane, and before you know it, WrestleMania, guys. So can't wait to do all that stuff. We've recapped, obviously, the Royal Rumble. That's kind of in the background now. Heading to the road, a lot of bumps, dealing with the Seth Rollins injury, dealing with a lot of unknown factors are going to happen here. Samoa Joe now into the main roster on Raw. Can't see what happens with the WWE Championship on SmackDown. What's going to happen with AJ Styles? What's going to happen with John Cena? What's going to happen with Bray Wyatt? Randy Orton is going to be the number one contender. And regardless, he's going to main event WrestleMania, despite who he faces. Who will that be? We'll find out. But in the meantime, you guys have been listening to the High Spot Podcast with our partnership with Brainstew Radio Network. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. And after listening to this episode, your life is just too sweet.
Give me some coffee, please.
Are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type BRAIN for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code BRAIN, B-R-A-I-N, at adamandeve.com.